Hey everyone, welcome to the Worship Artistry Podcast. My name is Jason Houtsma, and with me is
Christina Kasanka.
It only took about 10 times to do that right.
Jason couldn't say his name.
Jason Houtsma.
Of all the things that you should know how to say.
You know, how often do you really say your name, though?
It's true. It feels weird that we use last names.
I know. Why even bother? But the Russian thing is like a whole different thing, though. Like, I remember reading the brothers, Karamazov. And they always have like all these like different names for like the same characters. How's that work?
So we have, instead of our middle names, we have our dad's name, and it's called an otchestvo, and it's like a different ending for female and male. So our full names are our first name, our like dad's name, and then our last name. So if you are referring to someone properly, you use their first and middle otchestvo to refer to them.
And then, it's super confusing when you're reading.
Yes. Like, you're like, why does this person have a name with 15 syllables? Yes.
Yeah. And then they keep changing. So you're like, oh, is this the same person or is it different?
And almost a nickname for people then is their like middle name, which is just their dad's name. It's kind of confusing.
Yeah. Well, our guest today has a very easy name. His name is Ryan Dahl.
Yes.
And if you're familiar with Ryan Dahl, he is the founder of Praise Charts. And he's also a good friend. We actually got to talking about how like when we first got started, when Worship Artistry first started, how he was the first one to reach out to us.
Awesome.
And it's like we've been friends ever since. And he's just a real inspiring guy. And he's got a lot kind of on his plate, a lot of things that he's excited about. And it's more from a passion and worship standpoint than a business standpoint. I think a lot of times when you have these interviews, if you're interviewing somebody from a company, it's kind of like, okay, this is just going to be like one big advertisement. And that's not the case at all. We talk about creating choral arrangements. We talk about what it's like being a piano player who's getting left behind in the world of keyboard and computers and all those kinds of things. So, so we actually talk about quite a bit, and he's just got some great stories, and so really excited to talk about him. So without further ado, Ryan Dahl.
All right. Well, I am always happy to be talking to this man, someone I look up to in the worship world and resources. And he's always kind of thinking out ahead, and he's always, I always come away inspired. And so very happy to have Mr. Ryan Dahl of Praise Charts with us. What's up, Ryan?
Oh, good to be here with you, Jason. It's good to have friends in this space where you feel like you can be yourself and encourage each other along the way. But I feel like we're doing life together, Jason. So love what you're doing at Worship Artistry. And you inspire me as well. I look at your site and go, man, we need to make our site look better like this. So
well, you're doing the same thing to us. We're actually redesigning our whole homepage and trying to like tell our story better. You know, I think it's amazing how much the industry has changed, like just all the worship resources that are out there. I mean, when we first started, you know, we started and it was like, we're going to do these online guitar lessons. And that wasn't anywhere besides YouTube. And we designed it all and had, and also all we had to do is be like, look, this is what we do. And everyone just got it right away, you know? But now you have, now there's, you know, there's other people in the space and there's, you know, people are learning from different places, which is great. It's always like, hey, are more people learning to lead worship and do it well? Like, great. Like, awesome.
Yeah.
But we want to tell people our story of like, this is what we're about and this is why we're so amped about it, you know?
I love that phrase. To tell our story, I feel like in the age of 2020, after coming through all these years of technology and social media, but people, we all have this innate desire to tell our story. And it's really the only thing that connects on a deeper personal level, right? So you have to somehow take the quantified mechanics of what we do and turn it into something personal and human. And that's how Jesus taught, right? Like Jesus told stories. He didn't do 3-point sermons. So that's my little soapbox about that.
Well, I know it's funny. I remember the time that I first realized how important story was because I was at a friend's church. I don't even remember why I was there. I think I was there for maybe a baby dedication or something, but there was another guy that was speaking and, you know, he talked for the usual time that you talk and give a sermon. And I couldn't tell you anything about that. Mm-hmm. But the last 10 minutes, he had been a military chaplain, and he told the story about being on the field and this thing that had happened. And it was just like,
I literally
didn't need any of the other stuff. That was completely unnecessary. And maybe somebody else was able to grab something from that for sure. But
yeah,
I'm always just like, oh, just tell me the story. Mm-hmm. I think there's a song about that. Well, you probably have a chart of that somewhere.
Probably. Laura's Story. There you go. It's by Laura's Story.
Well, tell me some of your story. What have you got going on, my friend?
Okay. Well, we do have a couple of things. Where to begin? I think I'll start on the choral thing, since you said you were kind of interested in that. A little bit of the story there is I went to a conference in Nashville like 6 weeks ago, thinking I was going to a place I didn't belong, because we're not really a choral publisher. But the choral world has been going through a bit of upheaval in the last, because of COVID. Imagine, like, even in Praise Charts, if I look at the sale of our like choir sheets, it's like dismal, you know, through COVID, because naturally choirs haven't been meeting as much. So fortunately, Praise Charts wasn't like, you know, totally into choir, or we might not have survived the last couple of years. Fortunately, we had other things going. But at any rate, went to this conference and certainly felt a little bit out of place. But then also, just like we're talking about the story, I thought, I got a story to share, and I want to come here and drop a bomb a little bit as far as the story that I wanted to share. And so so I did that. Had an incredible experience. I actually led worship with Charity Gale on stage.
Oh, no way.
I don't know if you know Charity. She's like a huge voice. And so we brought Charity to this conference, and Charity came up on stage, and I had my guitar there, which I had told the whole story about. It was like my dad's guitar, and my dad passed away, and I told all the things about how that guitar came about. And anyways, and then I sat at the piano and Charity's singing and I'm playing, you know, Thank You Jesus for the Blood, which is like the biggest song in 2022.
Yep.
I am beside myself at the grand piano thinking, what am I doing here? I am playing for her. It was so awesome. And then that night, Travis Cottrell came. He came on the stage and we did like a full choir, big band, big choir. And then Charity came up as a surprise guest. I played for that section of the concert. And I'm telling you, it was like a defined moment in my life. There you go. There's my first story. I went away shaken up. Like, I want to do this. I want to make more experiences like this. It was really, really awesome. So anyways, all that to say is within a week I had met with an orchestrator that Travis Cottrell put me on to. And now I just full scale hired him full time. And he is producing and arranging a brand new series of songs that we're calling the Signature Sessions, the Praise Charts Signature Sessions. I think I might have told you about this before, Jason, but it's like if we could do everything we ever wanted to do to make these songs just amazing for choir-led, orchestra-led, congregational worship. And a lot of times albums aren't recorded with that in mind. No. They have other agendas, you know. They're like, let's record us in a living room singing for 14 minutes, you know, over and over and over a really great song. It's just, it doesn't translate to Sunday morning for most of us, right? So songs like Gyra, you know, or things like that coming out of Maverick City and other songs. I mean, there's one, there's the arrangement. Second, there's the key. Sometimes it's like Chris or Tomlin for sure, but Phil Wickham, they're just singing in the stratosphere. And then, right, how are we supposed to do that on Sunday morning? So we just kind of thought, let's put these songs in keys that people can sing. Let's do them in arrangements that still sound awesome, but make sense for a Sunday morning. And then let's write really great orchestra that doesn't feel like you're reading out of the back of a hymnal, the orchestra parts, like that really sounds sort of symphonic and cinematic and sound like it belongs within a modern rhythm section. So all these dreams started like evolving and literally like this is all happening 3 or 4 weeks ago. I am back and forth voice messaging with this orchestrator and we're both like coming alive with a new dream for the sound of the choir and orchestra in the church. And it's literally like evolving minute by minute. And he's sending me back new mixes and we're adding parts or creating this and that. And then we were just like listening to it and going, oh my goodness, like this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And Mason, my orchestrator, he's also responding to me going, Ryan, like, I just feel like I can't wait to get up in the morning and just, I just want to do this. Like I feel awakened inside. Yeah. So needless to say, we're super excited. Now here's a really cool story, Jason. This is what I was going to share with you is I sent one of the things we're trying to do is record the choirs with some of our top churches in praise charts. So I took my top customers and sent an email to them thinking some of them must have the capacity to record their choir. And so I sent an email out to about, 100 of the guys, and most of them weren't able to respond, but I got a few that did respond and they caught the vision. So I've got a couple of them on deck to record on top of the track that we've provided. So then just 2 days ago, I sent out another email to 50 guys and it's been crickets for a couple of days. And I thought, oh no, have I missed the boat? Well, just this morning I got an email and I'm just going to read you a little bit of what he said. He's like, this guy who got one of my quote unquote, emails to 50 guys. He says, our arranger forwarded me the email you sent regarding the signature sessions project you're working on. When I read it, I ran to my wife shouting about it. He's like, I can't stress how much I think you're doing something great here. I feel there are actually multiple ways our church is suited to help. For years, I felt like we have a role to play in bringing participationable choir-led worship back to churches in our fellowship and done with excellence, relevance, and sincerity. I'm not sure if there's a more powerful instrument on stage than a mass group of peer worshipers. And this is a church of a major denomination, and it's like the flagship church of one of the major top five kind of denominations in North America. So I was like, oh, I felt like I just went fishing and I landed like a big salmon. I didn't even ask this guy if I could share his email, but if you know who you are and you're listening to this, I loved this. You know, when you talk to someone and they're like, the light goes on, yes, and they just get it. So we're just in like the early stages of catching new vision for the choir and orchestra in church. Notwithstanding anything that we have been doing for the last 20 years, we're going to keep doing it like we've been doing it. We're just going to be adding another layer, and I'm super excited about it. So
that's amazing. You know, it's so interesting. I've been thinking a lot about congregational worship, as I do. That's a part of my job. But, you know, just thinking about, you know, the trends that have happened and kind of the movements that have happened. Right. And you kind of have these different movements. For me, I think back to when, you know, we went from singing Give Thanks, which was at that time, like a movement. Right. And then it was like Vineyard came out and Delirious and they were doing more like five piece rock band kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it started turning, then you had like Tomlin and then there was kind of this other worship sound where it was more like kind of U2 and kind of like, everything kind of had that kind of a sound. Right. And it's like, and we have all these amazing artists that are putting out all this content. But you think about the fact that like a lot of these guys have been doing it for 20 years now, right? Like, yeah. And I think that there is a desire in the worldwide church for just more, like just something different, right. Something outside of yeah. like, listen, I really appreciate that at the time that this is what was necessary. I mean, there's a great video that George from CCLI sent me, and it's about this guy. Okay. And he's like me trying to like a music I hate, which is Christian music. And so he's like this secular yeah. guy who's like trying to get it. And he talks about how it's on YouTube. I forget what, I'll send it to you if I can find it. But the, he talks about how he's like, yeah, this music doesn't really do anything for me. Like the actual music of it. It's just not what I'm into. But he then started talking about how he called it musicking. He's like about what happens when people get together and all sing together, and what happens in a church body is different than what happens on a recording. Like there's just no mm-hmm. way to really capture that thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then he was like, and that's how I can wrap my brain around this. That's how I can get this, you know? And I think that like, you know, you've been serving the church with charts and, you know, like, and all these resources, while at the same time, you're also a musician yourself. You also lead worship yourself. Yeah. You also like, that's a big part of who yeah. you are. That doesn't come out of like, you might not be the guy from X church that everybody's looking to, you know, you're not like, oh, well, I'm with Hillsong, this church, so therefore I automatically yeah. have a voice, but you have so much to offer and so much to bring mm-hmm. to the worship world. And I think that, like, I know for myself as a worship pastor, I'm looking for other things. I'm looking for things mm-hmm. that don't sound like, not saying that that what is mainstream is bad, but it's just kind of like we have a lot of that. That's not yeah. the only thing that's there. That's not the only thing that's right. out there. And so you bringing in this, like, how do we get more choir happening? How do we get more orchestra happening? I mean, I go to a like 60 person church. So we need the whole church to reproduce what you're yeah. talking about, which could be fun. Could be fun. But, but at the same time, I just think it's really interesting how, you know, it's like you're doing this. I mean, Loop Community is doing something similar where they're bringing worship songs that they're writing. And like, cause we're all steeped in this. We're all doing this. We're all living out this thing. Mm-hmm. And what naturally pours out of you when you sit down at the piano, like mm-hmm. we can all learn from that. We can all grow from that. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And trust me, like I'm as much into the small, intimate, acoustic worship times with whatever, 12 people. I regularly lead worship for like 12 people, you know, behind a microphone and on a, you know, a piano kind of thing. But there's no lights, there's no grand stage. And it's beautiful, beautiful moments. I'll be leading worship in a couple of weeks for just a very intimate kind of candlelit style time. So I love that. But I also have a vision for like the big this week. Okay, get this. This week with one of the people on our team, we're dreaming about what it could be like to have a choir of like more than 100,000 people. Now, that's not all going to happen in the same physical space, but like these are the levels of the other side of the dream. What if we could simulcast a stadium experience that was multi-linked to other stadiums or congregations or things like that? And it's actually like possible. I was literally talking to a big name music producer writer who's like, yeah, we could make that happen. Like, let's do that, Ryan. So I'm into the big and the small and everything in between, right?
Well, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing is, it's like there's inspiration there, right? Like you're mm-hmm. you're getting a sense of something that is inspiring you, and then going and chasing that, and right. like and recognizing that, like, yeah, this isn't going to be for everybody, but this is for somebody, and it because it's striking mm-hmm. a chord in your heart, right? It's like it's going to strike a chord in others, and mm-hmm. maybe it'll be big or maybe it'll be small, but it's like you'll make a difference in some environment, mm-hmm. which is just incredible.
Yeah. It's kind of like that email I sent out to 50 guys. I thought surely 25 of them would email me back right away and say, I'm in, Ryan. But 2 days of silence. And then I just needed one person to be like, I see the vision. I'm where with you, Ryan. So I'm going to chase that. So anyways, that's our choral world.
Well, that's really exciting. Well, that's got me fired up. What else you got going on? Just keep it going.
Okay, I'll tell you. I've got other stuff. This is another topic that you and I have common ground in, because I noticed that worship artistry started showing up in CCLI and Song Select world. And I called you. I'm like, so when did CCLI buy you? You know, when did the big acquisition happen?
I'm still sitting in my little office. So,
yeah, I thought that's how corporate world works, is big giant companies come and eat up the small fish. Right. So, but apparently that's not the case. And even a company so substantial with long history as CCLI is out to like cooperate and work alongside. It's been tremendous. I don't know the details of what's going on with you, but I know that with us, like, let me tell you something, just square up here. Probably our biggest full-scale competitor is Song Select. Mm-hmm. I mean, where else do people go to get chord charts and lead sheets? They go to Song Select, they go to Praise Charts, and then I'm sure there's other places too, but those are two big,
yeah,
you know, head-to-headers. And literally last week, CCLI unveiled a major upgrade to, or a minor upgrade, I guess you might say, to Song Select, and they're linking Top of the Fold to Praise Charts from their Song Select pages. And today we are rolling out like internal, deep, contextually meaningful links to songs, to CCLI in particular, trying to help people know about where you can make copies and where you can use your CCLI license. So we've kind of come up with this cooperative, let's like promote each other instead of fight with each right. other. So the whole concept of turning competition on its head and representing, you know, church and quote unquote business, just really fires me up. So that's been kind of my experience. I don't know if you have any experience like that. I mean, even with you, you sell chord charts and do videos. We do things that kind of overlap, but it just becomes secondary when you re-envision yourself kind of on the same team. So yeah, that's just another very fresh, very current story, I guess you might say, that's a bit alarming. It would certainly be alarming to a lot of business tycoons out there. They're like, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would go either eat them up or do up some exclusive deal that, you know, that edges them out of the market, or that's just the way business is done. So,
yeah, it is really interesting. Like, I think, you know, I had Matt McCoy on here just a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, and we were talking about innovators and just this group that he kind of brought together, like envisioned and mm-hmm. gathered together, and just how... I think you're right. I think there's a sense of you would think, I remember I did some videos with Brian Wall from Worship Tutorials mm-hmm. and people were all right. Like, I thought you guys, I can't believe I'm seeing you guys on the same video. It seems like you guys would be competing with each other. And it's like,
right.
No, we're buddies. We want people to learn worship music. That's like what we're doing, you know? And when you have that kingdom mindset, and I mean, CCLI is the perfect example of this. Like, we've been teaming up with them. They've been just awesome with us. And the more that I ask about that, because I remember when initially they were like, hey, we want to partner with you. We want to do some things. I was just like, this is like too good to be true. Like, you're so much bigger. We don't really have anything to offer you. You know, and now I'm realizing, oh, okay, there are things that we can offer. Like, as we've grown to learn about their business a little more, we're like, oh, we can offer this. But you know, you're kind of like, are you sure? Like, but I keep just every step that I take and get to know them, I'm just like, you guys just get it. You get what you're here to do. You have a real clear vision about, we're here to serve the church. We're not trying to nickel and dime the church. We're not trying to like find ways to squeeze more dollars out of the church. We just want to keep supporting the church. So anybody who's going to do that, like, we want to help. Let's figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, and I don't know any other industry that does that.
Right.
It's just an amazing thing. And so it's been super amazing to work with them. And obviously, you know, with you guys, I remember you reached out, I think it was the very first, we put our ad in Worship Leader Magazine when we were first launching. And we were like, all right, our big spend, we're going to put a full page ad in Worship Leader Magazine. And right away I get an email from Ryan Dahl from Praise Charts. Hey, we'd love to saw you're doing something. We'd love to chat. And I was just like,
yeah,
this is awesome. Also, uh-oh, I don't know what's going on here. And it turns out you're amazing. So here we are.
Yeah. Well, and we live actually, for people to know, we live literally 20 minutes away from each other, but it takes us 6 hours to get to each other's house because we got to go through, you know, a giant wall in the border and have 6 dozen COVID tests before we can, you know, be in each other's presence.
But, I hear they're going to change it. Hey. I hear we're going to get to use the antigen tests, maybe.
Yeah.
And well, I got my Nexus pass. I'll finally actually get to use it. I've had it for like 2 years. I haven't been able to. I'm like, do I get extra years on my Nexus pass to get me over the border? What's going on?
Yeah.
Well, hey,
so that's the story of Jason and I. We are literally close. But I love that story. And I wanted to say this is part of my early story of Praise Charts. One of the most challenging seasons is when I was a full-time worship pastor and contemplating making this leap into kind of business. And I felt like the wrath of God, you know, breathing over me, thinking, you're going to abandon your call and go into business? Like, who do you think you are? How could you do that? And that was like such a wrestle. I'm sure many people in our world could identify with that kind of transition. But then I sort of like turned that into, how about if I like bring the spirit of the church into business, right? Like, how about if we lead a business like we would lead a church,
right?
Instead of like just leading a church like we would do a business. But what if businesses could function like that authentic, you know, serving others kind of mode and non-protective? So I'm kind of my personal mission to you know, demonstrate that or try that out. And it's not always perfect, but it's definitely a road I'm on.
That's a really cool way to say that. I love that. Like if we actually ran our business like the church rather than our church like a business. I think it's just such a really clear way. Because one thing that has always got, it's like my number one pet peeve, is you can just probably feel me getting like anxious. But when somebody says like, yeah, that's great. But in the business world, like if I can't live out my faith in the business world, then the business world is broken. You know, like I can't, if I have to be somebody different or I have to go do something different and not be inclusive and not be loving and caring and outreach focused. Right. Like if I can't be that, if I have to be self-protected and like, then I don't really want to be in business. Like that's not what I'm here to do. Like I want to do something so much different. And so it's just super, and you know, not everybody's like that. And it's just really cool that we've gotten to see this group, like this amazing group of people that are all on that same page and are all just like loving each other, which gets me fired up for that Innovators Conference.
Yeah. Coming up in October.
October in person.
And that's
in theory.
And that's
in
really
person.
Been the heart of that. It's like a bunch of competitors all came together, decided to form a community and, you know, and celebrate each other and promote each other. So that's like why we do these podcasts together. So it's really great. It's a good thing.
Well, hopefully it makes for good listening. Speaking of good listening, let's talk about your worship keys. What are you talking about? You sent me some stuff on that. I was looking at that and I was like, that's pretty awesome. Tell me more.
Okay. Well, like the theme of this podcast, everything has a story. The story of that is this. Like, you're a guitar player deep down in your heart and an amazing one at that. I know how to play guitar, but I really love to play the piano, and I've learned to play on an upright piano from my living room, but I always dreamed of playing a grand piano. I used to go into our school auditorium and set the spotlight on the grand piano in this auditorium of 500 people. Nobody was in there, and I would turn all the lights off, just shine it on the grand piano, and just go and like play as though the world was listening in. It was just like this experience that I had, right? So anyways, I've grown up in the church playing piano, but in parallel to that, it's been kind of frustrating to me that this whole automated, you know, electronic kind of technical approach to playing keyboards has arisen up, and people have all these sounds, and I watch these keyboard players and they got computers beside them, and I'm like, I don't have any idea what's even on that computer. Like, what are they doing? You know, how are they?
They're actually just watching YouTube.
Right. What show are they watching? No, it frustrated me and started to make me feel left out, because I'd go to my modern church and I literally saw the grand piano, a 7-foot Yamaha C7, at the back side of the stage collecting dust with a cover half on, while there's this little, you know, fritzy electronic keyboard in the center of the stage. And I'm like, I want to play that thing, right? I want to play the thing over in the corner. I literally did that to my church. I went to the worship pastor, and a few Sundays, they reoriented the stage for me and hauled out this big grand piano, mic'd it up so I could play, because I had wanted to do that. But anyways, I feel like right now we're in an era where there's probably a lot of people like me who feel kind of intimidated and a little bit left behind by the, you know, the whole computer-based music world. It's and then what I find is with some softwares that are out there, they're like, hey, get our software and here's 600 sounds that you can use on a Sunday morning.
Most of them sound crazy.
I know. You could sound like an alien. You could sound like a spaceship. You could sound like, look at all these cool things and arpeggiators. And even at then, I'd be like, my head would be exploding going, I don't need that chaos.
Right.
Because I have like the mind of a grand piano, but I want kind of the experience. So that's kind of been the heart behind Worship Keys, is what if we could try to boil this program down? That is $30 for anyone that owns a Mac. It's an amazing program for $30. And I hired a programmer, a music programmer, who definitely needed me, because it's like he had the mind of how to program it, but I wanted to keep it simple and keep it like focused on worship and not to clutter it too much. So that's what we've tried to do with Worship Keys. I feel like the road ahead of us is still long and hard to try to really prove the value of this. And for now it's free. And we're even making song-specific tracks that are free, just so people could try to experience a new side of playing piano that doesn't leave them in the dust. So there you go. That's kind of like the heart behind what we've tried to do with Worship Keys.
So it's basically like a slimmed down version of a, like, it's like the things that, it's like the stuff you, like everything you need and nothing you don't. Like
kind of
an approach to it, where it's like, okay,
very much that.
Here's your organ, here's your piano, here's your pad, here's your.
Yes. And then there are other things that are actually quite complex and technical, but the person that is using Worship Keys doesn't really have to go into there. It's just, we're trying to provide, like, for example, I'm looking at it right now and I thought, I don't want 600 sounds. I just need 8 sounds, and right. I probably, most people only need about 4 or 5. So we've got like altar pads, which means, think, okay, pastor's up there, he's leading.
Tells me everything you need to know.
I know. It's just like, I just want to play a pad that doesn't get in the way, that has a sweet, you know, okay, altar pads, and then altar piano, which is, okay, now I want to just bring in a little bit of piano, is like typical classic. You know, every church needs this stuff. And then there's a couple others that are like a bright piano or epic synth, so that if I'm doing What a Beautiful Name and it goes into that, you have no rival. I mean, you can hear it, right? Yeah. It just gets big and you want to like fill it out. So we'll give you that like epic sound. But then beyond that, we're making song specific patches so that it's like, okay, you're playing This Is Amazing Grace. There's some particular iconic sounds that come into that. You don't have the time to program all the complexities of what that is. So we'll just give it to you. We lay it out. verse, chorus, bridge, 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 chorus, bridge, tag, ending. And then you can modify it and work with it, but it's like we're giving you the goods to just play the song like you know you want to sound, right? And so, yeah.
Well, it's so funny because I even, you know, I find that myself, like I'll be recording stuff at home on Logic or whatever, you know, and I now have my presets of things that I save. Like, and I can find my way. I took 6 years of piano. It took me guitar lessons to actually understand what was going on the piano. But, you know, I can find my way around on the piano now. But it is shocking how hard it's like, no, I just want that like basic synth sound that I hear in everything. Where is that? And it's like, no, I need to cycle through 100 different synths and then find out none of them are the right tone and be like, am I in the wrong bank? What is going on? Yeah. So having something that just goes, no, this is the one that you want. Trust me. I know what you want. You've heard it in everything. Yeah. This is it.
Yeah.
It's such a great idea. Right. And does it allow, and so it does allow you though to like tweak and make adjustments on it and that kind of thing if you want to kind of play with it. Cause that's the thing that like Ryan King, our keyboard instructor, you know, he has, we offer patches, but he uses Omnisphere and kind of more of these high end things to do it. But he always kind of shows you like, oh, we're going to fade up a filter here and do these, you know, so you can still kind of do those things, but at least you have like the baseline of like, here's the important stuff that I really need. And then if I want to get weird from here, I can.
If anybody ever sees the video, you can see this. This is called a Korg Nano Control. So we designed our system. It's a very common like little MIDI controller for $80, but that gives you like the tangible faders and knobs so that you can, you know, tweak the sound slightly. There's a couple of other cool things, like something called a drone. I literally didn't even know what a drone was when I went into this Worship Keys world, but a drone, it's not like something you're flying during, you know, the worship service, just so you know.
I don't know, some of these big mega churches, you never know.
I thought that a drone was like that synth pad, but you would play a progression, you know, C, F, G, A minor, you would play all the synths. But apparently the way a drones work is if you're playing in the key of C or D, let's say I was doing What a Beautiful Name, you just set the drone to play a D like open synth and it can play through the whole song. And when you build a band on top of it, it just creates like space and depth to the sound. So that's the purpose of a drone. It's super common, but I bet at least half your listeners might have not have been like, I didn't even know that existed or what that is. So Worship Keys has a drone built into it that you can control from this nano control if you, you know, kind of connect with that. So that's cool. And then one other thing I want to say, this has been kind of like the light went on. I have Omnisphere and I have no idea how to use it because it has 6,427 sounds and they're all amazing, but I have no idea. But I'll tell you what's, it's called a VST, right? Virtual synth instrument or something like that. I can't remember what it stands for, but it's a common term for these instruments that you can buy. And I have enjoyed buying a couple of really nice grand pianos because that's a part of my story is I wanted to play that grand piano. And it's worth it to have a nice sounding piano on your piano, but your keyboard or your computer, I mean, but you're going to have to pay for it. It'll cost you $300-$400. I've done that. Like there's one called Noir, or another one, Addictive Keys. Now, these are VSTs that you buy and you're really just focusing on one or two sounds, but it's so worth it. It's like, imagine getting, I know, right? You should see, they've got pictures of these pianos that they're recording to get these virtual sounds in your computer. And there's like 600 microphones around the piano because they're trying to capture all the nuance and of even the pedals and the strings and the vibration and the touch. So Worship Keys allows you to go and buy yourself a really nice piano and then embed that into your Worship Keys experience. Oh, so cool. we can't sell Worship Keys with that $400 piano, but if you want to put your you know, special instrument that you really like, you can do that. And we've got instructions on how to like incorporate all that. So that's kind of a unique bent that, again, goes back to my grand piano. Like, just imagine the picture of me sitting at the grand piano with the spotlight in the empty auditorium. It's like inspired by that moment of, I still believe that there's something about a really nice piano sound at church on Sunday morning, right? So,
oh, for sure. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, even me who doesn't really play piano. Yeah. I mean, at my church, we actually meet in this like little gym because we share a church with someone else, and so we meet in this little gymnasium area, and then we have a store. We have to break everything down, and I go put that in the storage closet. I'm always the last one there because I'm the one packing it all away. And there's a little just upright piano. And I was just going like, sit down and play that a little bit, just like before I leave every time. And just the weight and the touch and the feel of the pedals and everything. And then there's not like, it's not like some super fancy piano, but it's just like, this is different than sitting there on my little MIDI keyboard, trying to like hash out these things. You're like, oh
yeah,
I feel everything, you know, like there's just, that's worth doing for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's why we get into music, man. Right. Like those are the things.
Yeah.
Yes, we all lead worship and we love leading worship and we love being a part of that. But we're musicians. We just love those little pieces, those things. I still love turning the knobs on my pedals to dial in the right sound. You know, like I know that I can get a Helix and I can get all these different things that everybody's got, but I'm like, I just like turning that knob and then switching that little switch and seeing how it changes, you know? Like and you know, it's amazing what you can do with those little things, so. Well, Ryan,
that's great.
I'll tell you, man, I always come away inspired when I talk with you, and getting to just hear your heart and see, like I said, we'll have to put video of this somewhere because your eyes just light up. You start talking about the choral and the orchestra. And I'm like, oh,
yes,
absolutely. It comes through in the voice too. But man, I'm so grateful that we have people in this space like you who are still passionate and still pushing boundaries and still trying to find other ways to just get down and serve the church, man. It's always an encouragement. So thanks for taking the time with us.
Well, I feel like you just like mined out the stories from deep inside me. So, you know, get me talking and I just want to keep going. So thanks very much.
They're all at the surface. Come on. They're all ready to go.
So have you ever actually done anything with choral arrangements?
Not in church. I was a part of choirs in school and I loved it, but never like arranging choir parts for church ever. Yeah.
I mean, his whole idea of taking an orchestra and a choir and having that be your Sunday church arrangement.
Amazing.
Yeah. It would be incredible. It's always been my dream to like really play with a string section.
I think we're just so used to being in small churches, you and I. Because for the first time, like maybe 3 years ago now, I went to a church in Texas. No, it was Nashville. Yeah, it was Nashville. I went to a church and it was a huge like church. I wouldn't call it a mega church, but it was probably seating like 5,000 people.
I would call that a mega church. Yeah. What is your definition of a mega church?
I don't know. I associate mega church with like the church names that you know, I guess.
Sure.
But so it was a huge church. And for their Sunday morning worship, it was a choir and a full orchestra.
That's awesome.
With like, in addition to just like your regular 5-piece band. And I was blown away. I was like, this is Sunday morning church? Like, this exists? I was amazed.
Well, I think about it almost like, you know, if you go back to like the old cathedrals, right? There's this idea of you almost feel the grandeur of God, or at least a taste of it by walking into this architecture.
Yeah.
And I think having music that expands to that big and that level of epicness, I think just kind of like drives home a little harder, just like who our God is.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
And you know, he's totally there. You know, I love my little acoustic sets and I love leading with a band and I love all those things, but I can see how, man, when you get, I mean, think about passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go and have like a conference at thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just different. That is just different. It communicates something different about our God. And so I can't wait to hear his arrangements. I think they're going to be amazing.
Yeah, they're going to be stellar.
What if they're terrible?
No, I don't believe it.
No, no.
They're going to be really good.
No, Ryan is a man who values quality. So yes. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. So if you're interested in these curl arrangements, be sure to go over to PraiseShorts.com and check it out. We're sure that they're amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll use them, but
yeah, I think, you know, we're going to stick with the 5-piece thing because that's what we do well. It's good. I think it's good for us to have different, everyone to be kind of in different spots.
We'll just leave it to the experts.
Yeah.
And maybe you let us know if you love them. Yeah. I'm sure you will.
It's a lot of teachers to get.
Yeah. Imagine if we had to teach choir arrangements.
We do occasionally get like some random instrument requests. It'd be like, well, do you guys teach mandolin? It's like, no, we don't.
Clarinet.
Yep. We've gotten clarinet. People have asked flute.
Flute. Saxophone.
Yes. Saxophone.
Yeah.
I actually shared a monitor with a saxophone player when I was in college and I loved her. She was a wonderful person, but oh my gosh, it was just like, I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
She's soloing through this entire song and she was amazing at it.
Yeah.
But I definitely was just kind of like, I guess I'll just play a couple chords.
Yeah. Well, if you need lessons or a direction on how to play songs with only 5 instruments,
And
3-part harmony. Then you can head over to worshipartistry.com and start a free trial, or just log in if you're already a member and check out all the new stuff that we have added. We're adding a lot of new songs
all the time,
and they're great. So go check us out.
All right, we'll see you next time.